At the cross. Wow. Thank you, Thelma. Beautiful. Great message. What is Valentine? This is not in my notes, but it's just something that just kind of struck me there, listening to that song. It's a sign of love. You know, Jesus Christ was born out of love. I know this is a Christmas tie, but you know, it's because of His love for us where He came, was born willingly to die, because He was born to die. You can't define love any better than that, because He didn't just die for the sake of dying. He died for you. He died for me. So that I would not have to die. So that you would not have to die. I'm talking spiritually for eternity. On that. Wow. Thank you, Thelma. Before we start, open your hymnals to 275. I surrender all. Have that ready. This morning we'll be reading together, all of us, from the screen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Okay, so if you'd please stand in honor of our Lord as we read from His inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired written word of God. This is the message. It's a paraphrase. It's not a translation. But I like the way it's written here for this passage. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. All together now. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swollen head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't rejoice when others grovel, beg. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trust God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Heavenly Father, as we have read your word, and as we have stood in your presence for the reading of your word, Lord, I just ask that you bless the reading now. Speak to our hearts, that Christ may truly be manifested and we, edified, drawn closer to fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever asked or have you ever been asked, how do you define love? Well, PK did a little research for me and came up with several different answers to our question. She found out that love, well, I think I'll let her tell you what she found when she asked the question.
This is love from the perspective of a 4-year-old to an 8-year-old individuals. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe with their mouth. And love is what makes you smile when you're tired, Adrian. love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend that you hate. Now, that's pretty profound. Think about that, folks. And this was from a 6-year-old girl. The first one was from Billy, age 4. about how they say your name. That's pretty profound coming from a four-year-old. Age four was when love is what makes you smile when you're tired. These are awesome little kids. And then Bobby, age five, is talking about the Christmas. The love is there if you just stop opening presents and listen. Mm-hmm. And then age four, Jenny says, there are two kinds of love. There's our love and there's God's love. But God makes both kinds of them. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well.
Amen.
Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Robert Redford. That was Chris, age eight. Tommy, age six, like the little old woman and the little old man. And then Marianne, age four, says, love is when your puppy licks your face, even when you left him alone by himself all day long. And then Lauren, age four, says, I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and she has to go out and buy new ones.
See how much I love.
And I know that because I have two sisters who are older than me. And then Karen, age seven, says, when you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down, and little stars come out of you. That's Karen, age seven. And then, oh, it's your heart, Patty. And then Jessica, age eight, says, and this is really important, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget.
Just stay right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, have you ever thought about the significance of love? Personally, I think we will never, ever know the depth or true meaning of love this side of heaven. Sure, we are forever coming up with definitions of love, as PK was just reading some of them here. And we even try to explain it. But how successful? Got to get that off my notes. I can't read through that paper there. I guess it's a good thing we're not going live on the thing this morning.
That's a good thing we're not live streaming today.
Okay. Anyway, but how successful are we? Well, I have asked PK to read a story, another story for us. It's about an island, and this island is called Love Island. So, PK, would you share that story about Love Island?
Once upon a time, there was an island where all the feelings lived. There was happiness, sadness, knowledge, and all the others, including love. Well, one day it was announced to all of the feelings that the island was going to sink to the bottom of the ocean. So all the feelings prepared their boats to leave. Love was the only one that stayed. She wanted to preserve the island paradise until the last possible moment. Well, when the island was almost totally under, Love decided it was time to leave. Well, Love began looking for someone to ask for help. Well, just then, Richness was passing by in a grand boat. Love asked, "Oh, Richness, can I come with you on your boat?" Richness answered, "I'm sorry, but there's a lot of silver and gold on my boat, and there would be no room for you anyway." Then Love decided to ask Vanity for help, who was passing in a beautiful vessel. Love cried out, "Vanity, help me, please." "I can't help you," Vanity said. "You're all wet and will damage my beautiful boat." Well, next, Love saw Sadness passing by. Love said, "Sadness, please let me go with you." Sadness answered, "Oh, Love, I'm so sorry, but I just need to be alone now." Then love saw happiness. Love cried out, "Happiness, please, please, happiness, take me with you." But happiness was so overjoyed that he did not even hear love calling out to him. Well, love began to cry. Then she heard a voice say, "Come, love, I will take you with me." It was an elder. Love felt so blessed and overjoyed that she forgot to ask the elder his name. When they arrived on land, the elder went on his way. Well, love realized how much she owed this elder. Well, love then found knowledge and asked, "Who was it that helped me?" "It was time," knowledge answered. "But why did time help me when no one else would?" love asked. Knowledge smiled and with deep wisdom and sincerity answered, "Because, love, only time is capable of understanding how great love really is."
Each year on Valentine's Day, we embrace the tradition of speaking some of the most important words that we will ever utter to the one that we love. Now, Adrian, I need you to do me a favor. Okay? In the refrigerator, there are two tins. Okay? If you could bring me the bigger of the two, I would appreciate it. I know that I do not say nearly enough, but I do try to say each morning when PK leaves the house to go get Levi, I try to say to her every morning, "PK, I love you, and be careful as you go." Oftentimes, I will say, "PK, I love you with all of my heart." In our bathroom, on our mirror, I have a little sign there that says, "Sweetheart, you're my gift from Jesus." Other times I might say, "Honey, I thank God from the bottom of my heart for you." Now, I know I don't say these near enough, but I do mean them deeply. You know, Valentine's Day is a time when not only do we tell those who we love that they're special and how much we love them and care for them, but it's also a time when we buy special cards and when we have gifts, special gifts like flowers and things of that nature and dark chocolate-covered walnut clusters with cranberries. All for you. Yeah, it's...
I couldn't tell what this
there it is. There it is.
The picture is so... I couldn't tell what that was.
There you go.
Here. They're yours.
Oh, they're all mine.
They're all yours.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what you were doing at 1 o'clock this morning.
That's what I was doing at 1 o'clock.
Have a nap.
Thank you. All right. Well, you know, it's a way of showing and expressing our innermost feelings for the one that we love, appreciate for their kindness and for their gift of love giving back to us. Well, that, as wonderful and rewarding as this is, have you ever wondered why we do these things? How this tradition ever got started? Oh, the truth of the matter is, the history of Valentine's Day is, and its patron saint, it's a mystery. We really don't know, but There are three possibilities, and as Paul Harvey would say, that be the rest of the story. And I will try to share that with you a little bit this morning. One thing we know, that February has long been a month of romance. And that St. Valentine's Day, as we know it today, contains remnants of both Christian and ancient Roman traditions. Now, so who was St. Valentine? I couldn't find a better picture than that, but it's kind of blurry, but that's the way the picture was. How did he and the Roman culture become associated with this ancient riot? Well, to answer that, we need to turn the pages back of history several hundred years ago to the day when there are three different saints that the stories will come out and say that it's one of these three that Valentine's Day is named after. All three of them were martyred, by the way. And then they were recognized by the Catholic Church. Now, one legend says that Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome, during the time when Emperor Claudius II was reigning. He decided then that single men made better soldiers than wives and with families. So he outlawed marriage for the young men. However, Valentine, who was a priest, defied Claudius and continued to perform marriages secretly for these young men. Now, when Valentine's actions were discovered by Claudius, he ordered that Valentine be put to death. Other stories suggest that Valentine may have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape the harsh Roman prisons where they were often beaten and tortured. According to one legend, Valentine actually sent the very first Valentine greeting himself while he was in prison. You see, it's believed that the daughter of the prison guard came to Valentine and talked with him again, to visit with him, and they fell in love. And her name was Augustine. And so he wrote a letter and sent it to her, and when he signed it, "From your Valentine." And that's where, according to this legend, we get that expression, "From your Valentine." Although the truth behind Valentine's legend is uncertain, the stories certainly emphasize his appeal as a sympathetic, heroic, romantic figure. It's no surprise that in the Middle Ages, Valentine was one of the most popular saints in England and in France. While some believe that Valentine's Day is celebrated in the middle of February to commemorate the anniversary of Valentine's death or burial, which probably occurred somewhere around 270 A.D., others claim that the Christian church may have decided to celebrate Valentine's feast day in the middle of February as an effort to Christianize the celebrations of the Roman festival Lupercalia. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, but the she-wolf. Okay? Now, in ancient Rome, February was the official beginning of spring. It was considered a time of purification. Houses were ritually cleaned. They were sweeping them out completely, and then they would sprinkle salt and a type of wheat on the floor that was called spelt, S-P-E-L-T, throughout the interior. Lupercalia, which began at the Ides of February, or February 15th, was a fertility feast dedicated to Faunus, F-A-U-N-U-S, whatever, something like that, who was a Roman god of agriculture, as well as to the Roman founders, Romulus and Remus. Now, stay with me, giving you all this history for a purpose, okay? To begin the festival, members of the Luperci, which is short for the Lupercalia, and this was an order of Roman priests. They would gather at the sacred cave where the infants Romulus and Remus were believed to have been cared for by the she-wolf that was there. Okay. Then the boys from the village, and this is the interesting part, the priest would sacrifice a goat for fertility and a dog for purification at the entrance of the cave. Then the boys from the village would slice the goat's hide into strips, dip them in the sacrificial blood, and girls, you will like this. And they would take to the streets, and then they would gently slap the strips of blood-soaked goat hide strips on the girls. And the women would enjoy that because, you see, they thought if they got hit by this blood-soaked goat strip, that it would cause them to be more fertile, and they would be able to raise children, more children during the year. Aren't you glad that's not a tradition now? Later in the day, according to the legend, all of the young women in the city would place their names in a big urn. The city bachelors then would each choose a name out of that urn, and that pair would live together for a year. These matches often ended up in marriage. But Pope Gelasius, or whatever his name is there, anyway, he felt like that wasn't right. So he declared February the 14th is St. Valentine's Day, and this was around 498 A.D., and the Roman lottery system was declared unchristian, and it was outlawed. The oldest Valentine still in existence to this day was a poem that was written by Charles, Duke of Orleans, to his wife while he was imprisoned in the Tower of London following his capture at the Battle of Agincourt. The greeting, which was written in 1415, is part of the manuscript collection of the British Library in London, England. In Great Britain, Valentine's Day began to be popularly celebrated somewhere around the 17th century. It is believed that Americans began exchanging handmade valentines in the early 1700s. And in 1840, a lady by the name of Esther A. Howland began to sell the first mass-produced valentines in America. According to the Greeting Card Association, estimate that 1 billion Valentine cards are sent every year, making it the second largest card-sending holiday in the year. And I'm sure you can figure out what the first one is, Christmas, where they do over 2.6 billion cards that are sent every year at Christmas time. Today, we identify the heart as being the central part of the body and with deep emotional feelings. I love you with all of my heart. I appreciate that to the depth of my heart. But even as we share in the fun of giving cards, flowers, chocolate-covered walnut clusters with cranberries, I feel that it's important for us to stop for a moment just to consider the heart of the real Valentine story. The psalmist gives us one of the most beautiful Valentine cards that has ever been written. In Psalm 143, verse 8, says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." It's not a coincidence that throughout Scripture, God's people carry the title, the Bride of Christ. Hosea chapter 3 and Revelations chapter 19, verses 6 through 10. While we may not think of ourselves in these terms, God loves us with fervent love. It's a love that goes far beyond all rational understanding. For what rational king would sacrifice his one and only son to save his adulterous, disloyal, rebellious bride? Yet our king has done exactly that. And in doing so, he has taken away our judgment by executing his own son on a blood-stained, rugged, splinter-infested wooden cross for our sins, instead of executing us as we deserve. He has cast out our enemy by prying death's bony fingers off our throats and throwing Satan's accusations out of court, refusing to hear them ever again. Folks, God's heart of mercy and grace does not reject us. Even when we wander away from Him, even when we stomp away defiant, sticking our fist in His face in disobedience, He reaches out for us, calling us back to Himself, calling out of deep love and concern for our well-being. That kind of love, folks, when received, brings about true repentance from our hearts. That kind of love creates love and loyalty in our hearts that have never before embraced it. That kind of love makes it possible for us to obey our King's command of grace, not only on Valentine's Day, but all through the year as well. This year, as we give our cards, as we give our flowers, as we give our dark chocolate-covered walnut clusters with cranberries, let's also stop for a moment, folks, and consider those who may feel unloved or even abandoned. Let's remember our servicemen and women. Let's remember them who are overseas, thousands of miles. Let's remember those like Joe who can't be here today because he's playing Army today, required every month. Let's remember those who have sacrificed so much. Remember the families of those who have given their lives so that we could be here today. No matter what our stage or condition in life, all of us, every single one of us, crave love. What a blessing it is to know the unfailing love of our Savior Jesus. our love, that is human love, it'll flicker, won't it? It goes in and out. Sometimes it'll even fail. Yet despite our failure to love, and despite our refusal at times to act in love, the Lord, the love of our Lord toward us will never, ever fail. That unfailing love carried Jesus away to a hill called Calvary to die there for us in our place today. For those who have received His unfailing love, that love flows through us. It flows like a perpetual fountain. And because we are refreshed by it day by day through the forgiveness and acceptance we enjoy in Christ, we become people who refresh others because we've been refreshed through the unconditional acceptance and love that we show them. Through our love, others come to know the love of Jesus, the kind of love that died and arose for each one of us.
Long ago He blessed the earth, born older than the years. And in the stall the cross He saw through the first of many tears. A life of homeless wandering, cast out at sorrow's way. The shepherd seeking for the lost, His life the price He paid. Love crucified arose, the risen one in splendor. Jehovah's sole defender has won the victory. Love crucified arose, and the grave became a place of hope. For the heart that sin and sorrow broke is beating once again. Throughout your life you felt the weight of what you'd come to give, to drink for us that crimson cup so we might really give. At last the time to love and die, that dark appointed day, that one forsaken moment when your Father turned His face away. Love crucified arose, the one who lived and died for me, with Satan's nail-pierced casualty, now is breathing once again. Love crucified arose, and the grave became a place of hope, for the heart that sin and sorrow broke is beating once again. Love crucified arose, the risen one in splendor. Jehovah's sole defender has won the victory. Love crucified arose, and the grave became a place of hope. For the heart that sin and sorrow broke is beating once again. Love crucified arose, and the grave became a place of hope. For the heart that sin and sorrow broke is beating once again. He arose.
The grave became a place of hope. Have you ever wondered why the world doesn't like the cross? That's why. Because you see, the world doesn't want you to have hope. God's hope. And that grave is our hope, folks. Are you down? Are you under? Are the circumstances so overpowering in your life that it's just hammering you down? Go to the cross of Christ. That's where our hope is. Our place of hope at the foot of the cross. This morning, if you've never ever made a public profession of faith, I want to encourage you to strongly consider that. Why? Well, because you see, when we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to come into our heart with His unconditional love and cleanse us, He says, if you really mean it, then I want you to make that public profession of faith. He says in Matthew that if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you won't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. That's saying that if it's really real to you, if you've really done what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. You see, when we make that confession public, we're saying, Jesus, I really mean what I'm saying. I really and truly believe in you. And I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be Lord of my life as well. And to lead me and to carry me at times, like the poem Footprints says, when those times are so bad that we struggle and we fall, but He's there, picks us up, carries us. Just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our invitation song, I Surrender All. That's what Jesus is wanting you to do. That's the invitation this morning. Christian brother, sister, if there's something in your life that is hindering your fellowship with Christ, surrender it completely. If you've never made that public profession of faith, you've accepted, you know in your heart that if you were to die right now, you'd be in the presence of God. No questions asked. But if you've never made that public, do it this morning. Make that profession public. You're saying to Jesus, I really mean it. I'm really genuinely in love with you. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be Lord of my life. Will you do that this morning? As we stand and as we sing, you come. I'll be standing right down here at the front. You come and you tell me that you're making that decision. Brother and sister, if there's something else in your life, the Holy Spirit's weighing heavy on your heart, you want to come and pray and kneel or sit on the front pew, you can. Just don't leave today without making that decision for the Lord public today.